Support for reporting on technology and innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com. And welcome to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland. We're broadcasting from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio at our Black Hills Bureau in downtown Rapid City. And joining me right now is Scott T. Wood. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Kara.
He is an assistant professor of nanoscience and engineering, and he has a lab, and I'm going to say it all right, in nanobiomechanics and mechanobiology lab,
That's right. Yep.
At South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. So thank you for being here, and we're going to talk arthritis.
Great.
That's your research.
Yes.
Okay, so start with what it is that you're looking for.
Well, we are trying to understand how the cells in your joints that control whether your joints stay healthy or whether you get arthritis, we're trying to figure out how they respond at the, you know, the inside the cell level to the forces that they experience during everyday movements like walking, standing up, running, jumping, all the way to injurious forces from, you know, say you get in a car crash or you tear your meniscus or, or you know, the various things that people do when they injure their knee, and how those mechanical forces regulate, you know, how the healthy ones can regulate the prevention of arthritis and how, you know, when you, the more injurious forces can lead to arthritis.
And so arthritis is really kind of a breakdown in the cell where
it's
it doesn't repair itself?
Yeah, it's a breakdown in the tissue where the cells that are normally responsible for what they call homeostasis, a kind of a tearing down the old stuff and replacing it with fresh new stuff. Right? Your body's doing that all throughout itself every day. And in your joints, when you get arthritis, the problem is that those cells kind of get reprogrammed. And so they end up tearing down more than they replace. And over time, the more they tear down, the more it reprograms them to tear down. And that can lead to basically a loss of the tissue, which is when you need to get your joint replaced.
Okay, and we're going to talk about some different techniques in replacing joints later on in the program. But how did you really focus on this kind of research?
Well, I originally got my bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and then in graduate school, I was interested in orthopedics and joint replacement technologies. And as a postdoc, I ended up, so after graduate school, after I got my PhD, I spent some time working for a rheumatologist who does a lot of basic science research on cell and molecular biology. And it's kind of the culmination of all of that where, you know, now I can, now that I have my own lab, I am able to kind of bring that mechanical engineering background into the world of the cell and molecular biology and see, you know, and we can look at, you know, using mechanical engineering techniques and other techniques as well, trying to better understand how these cells work so that hopefully we can reprogram them ourselves someday.
So it's manipulating the cell.
That's the goal.
Sort. And how,
right now,
how would you achieve manipulation?
Well, so now we're starting to get a little bit technical here.
Okay.
There are these things called integrins that the cells have. And you can think of them as being kind of like the hands of the cell. So they extend from inside the cell through the cell membrane to outside the cell. And it's these integrins that allow the cell to hold on to the tissues in your body, the fibers of the tissues in your body.
Okay.
So these integrins, there are different kinds, lots of different kinds, and we know for many of them certain amino acid sequences. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, and we know certain sequences of those that can be used to bind specifically to certain integrins.
Okay.
Different integrins have different roles, and there are some that are you know, involved in what we call the mechanotransduction pathways. Mechanotransduction is the process of taking a mechanical input, like a force from walking or whatever, and turning that into a cellular process. You know, the sorts of things that lead to changes in gene regulation, mm-hmm. for example. And so what we are hoping to be able to do is to take proteins or some nanofiber or something that we design someday. Right now we're using proteins for this, but we want to someday get to the point where we can design something that could be put into a person. And we want to be able to use those amino acid sequences to bind to these integrins. And then we can, using a variety of techniques right now, like I said, we use proteins that are attached to magnetic beads. And so we can use a magnet to pull on the bead, which pulls on the protein, which pulls on the integrin, which leads to changes in cell signaling. My vision for this in the future is that someday we'll be able to develop some sort of nanofiber that could be injected into the joint, self-assemble inside the tissue to bind to those integrins, and then whether it's magnetic and be, you know, can be targeted with magnetic resonance, like you get when you get an MRI, or whether we use ultrasound, you know, the same ultrasound you would get, you know, if you're pregnant and you're getting your baby checked, mm-hmm. You know, you can use that to make certain things resonate potentially. It's more of an injectable device. Yeah.
Huh.
So that's my vision for, you know, 20, 30 years down the road.
It's going to take you that long?
Hopefully not, but I don't want to get anybody's hopes up too much.
And is there other similar research that you are collaborating with anyone across the country on this, or are you on your own path?
Well, I'm kind of just starting to try to define my own path. I'm a new professor, and so I'm just building my research lab. This is really, it's my second year at the School of Mines, but the first year was pretty much getting set up, mm-hmm. and this is my first year really starting to get the research moving forward.
Okay, and graduate students that are working with you?
I've got two that are very closely tied to my lab, and then two more that are a little bit more loosely tied, but are doing a lot of good work to try and help us out with this. Yeah.
So take me through the journey of somebody with arthritis and really how that starts and how that progresses over time.
Well, it can start fairly early, even my understanding, and Dr. Miller could probably speak to this better than I could, but, you know, it tends to start early in your 30s, in your 40s, unless you have an injury, and then it can start as early as your teens or your 20s. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that our cartilage, which is where you get arthritis, it's the lubricating surface between the bones, there are no blood vessels there. There are no nerves there. And so with no nerves present, we don't feel when it's starting to get damaged. We don't feel it until it gets to the point that the bones underneath can tell, and that's where the nerves are. So, you know, kind of the journey of a person with arthritis starts long before they even know they have it, long before they feel any pain. And then by the time you start to feel pain, often is when the disease has progressed pretty substantially. And, you know, we might be able to identify it early if we screened everybody, you know, every year starting in their third. But then, you know, you get into issues with now you're exposing people to radiation mm-hmm. when there's mm-hmm. no pain to, you know, so do they really need it? And there's a lot of research nationwide right now into trying to identify risk markers and things so we can find the disease and treat it before it gets to be such a big problem.
And are there treatments now, or that's what you're...
Well, right now we can treat the pain. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not a rheumatologist, mm-hmm. but from my conversations with rheumatologists and reading the literature, really, you know, Tylenol is our best treatment. You know, we could use the really, again, we can treat the pain. So you can get Tylenol, you can get opioids if you need a little bit, you know, stronger pain relief, but those come with their own risks, obviously. A lot of people who go to the doctor will get steroid injections, corticosteroid injections, but those lose efficacy. They get less effective with each injection you get, and they only last so long. And so typically the number of those that you can get and still have them work well, you know, is limited to, you know, 3-5, somewhere in there is my understanding. And, you know, getting steroid injections also comes with risks to your overall health.
And the research that you're doing, if you don't really know you have arthritis until the pain is so great and right. and a deterioration has already set in, is it too far gone for your research? Is it something that we have to find earlier?
Well, let's say hypothetically that my research had reached its culmination and we had this treatment that we were ready to put into people. Yeah, it would probably be a little bit difficult. You know, it would probably be a little bit too far gone for that right now. But like I said, I'm just getting started. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of hoping and banking and betting on the people who are trying to identify it earlier, that by the time I'm ready to put something into a person, that they'll be, you know, subsequently farther along in their research as well, and we'll be able to target the right population.
And the cells that you're using, are you still just working on, you know, cell manipulation now, or are you actually using cells from people with arthritis?
Well, okay, so we have two tissue sources. Okay. We have tissue, so we can get normal, healthy cartilage, which you can imagine most people don't just donate while they need it. So we get those through tissue donors, people who have passed away and whose family members sign a waiver to donate to tissue banks. We specifically work with the Dakota Lions and Eye and Tissue Bank.
Okay.
And they, when you sign that little waiver saying, yes, we consent for you to use the tissue, you know, to take the tissue, and then we also consent for that tissue to be used for research, then, you know, if all those dominoes fall into place, then we get that tissue. Mm-hmm. And we can digest the cartilage to get the cells out, and we can then culture those in a lab where we can look at them on a microscope or do different things with them to try and better understand how they work. I also am very close to finalizing an agreement with Regional Hospital. So once that's in place, then Dr. Paul Miller, who's following me, he will be sending me the tissue that normally just gets thrown away right now. And that will be able to be directed instead of to the trash can to my lab, where we can, again, digest the tissue and get the cells out of that and study those cells. So we're able to take a two-pronged approach where we can look at healthy cells and see, all right, what sorts of forces make healthy cells turn unhealthy? And then hopefully we'll be able to understand also how can we take those unhealthy cells and maybe make them a little bit more healthy.
Genetics, DNA play a role in this at all?
Sure. I mean, it plays a role in
pretty much everything.
Okay. Right, yeah. Okay. But, genetics and DNA kind of controls which proteins your cells in your body express. Ultimately, you know, when it comes down to how well is my body functioning, the DNA kind of sets the stage, but it's the proteins that do the work, and it's the proteins that we're studying.
Okay. So just getting started. It's I look forward to following you and your research over the years.
Thank you.
I look forward to it. So Scott Wood, thank you so much. Yeah.